Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to the Big Apple Baseball Podcast. I'm Armstrong, here with John Kirsch. We just wanted to make a podcast for New York baseball teams, Yankees, Mets, and we're going to bring news from around the MLB also and just talk about it. So,
what's going on, guys?
You guys will join us and listen for the foreseeable future.
What's going on, guys? Very excited to be here. Can't wait to get started. You know what? Let's just jump right into it. So MLB's newest proposal, it basically had four main parts of it. And I guess we could just break down each part and talk a little about it. So basically the four parts would be the 82-game regional schedule with a universal DH. That's one. Two would be the 30-man active roster with also a 20-man taxi squad, which the MLB called it. Three would be a 14-team postseason with games hopefully in the home cities in October. And lastly, 50-50 revenue split for the players and owners.
So I'm a huge DH guy in general. Like in general, I don't think that pitcher should be hitting anyway. So I'm totally fine with that already. Like if they just want to have DHs all year round, both leagues, I think it'd be smart. Like what's the point of pitchers hitting? It's not even exciting. Like I saw that stat that Bumgarner, who's like, you know, supposedly this amazing hitting pitcher, his like OPS plus is like 46, which less than half the league average. So like,
oh yeah, yeah, he's good for a pitcher. He's not a good hitter.
I'm like just ready to get rid of the whole NL stupid rule. And anyone who says that like you're taking strategy out of the game, like shut up. Just like
stop. I don't want to hear that.
Like I don't want to hear that. Like oh, double switches aren't going to be a thing anymore. Like, I don't care. Like
okay, yeah.
You want to extend careers? Like Kyle Schwarber, dude's never going to be able to play for an AL team.
Our guy Edwin Encarnacion, he opened up half the league now for him.
Yeah, like he started on the Reds. He had nothing going on there. He couldn't field, so they just didn't play him.
Yeah,
and then like they moved him to the AL, and he's been phenomenal ever since. Like that's gonna like be the thing with Schwarber when his contract's up. Like the Cubs can't trade him to NL teams. He can only go to the AL. Like a guy like him, or a guy like I don't know, like Miguel Sano. Like he'll never go to the National League.
Right, that's a good example also. And a quiet name that I want to throw in, people might not like this, but Miguel Andujar.
Oh.
Yeah. When he's done with the Yankees, he could hit with anyone else in this league. He could hit pretty well, but fielding is something he's always had trouble with. I don't see him improving. I don't see him ever becoming a good third baseman. Maybe we'll see what happens at first base, but
I mean, look at a guy like Dominic Smith, like for the Mets, like Dom Smith. The guy, like they were throwing him all over the diamond last year. He was phenomenal at the plate, but they just couldn't start him because they have, you know, they have a full outfield. They have more outfielders than they could even think of. And then they have Pete Alonso at first. There's no room for Dom Smith. Like if there's a DH, bam, there you go. Pete Alonso is going to DH. Dom Smith is your new first baseman. Pete Alonso doesn't do anything besides hit home runs anyway. So like, you know, he's not helping you at first base. So it's
a large region
official for everyone.
Yeah, and that's why AL teams just win more games. It's so much they're able to shuffle around their roster. What was that?
It's more offense.
Yeah, exactly. You could shuffle around your roster, play the guys that deserve to be played. Even if they can't field, you could throw them. You could make them hit. Like Giancarlo Stanton is another example. Injury risks will keep him out of fielding in the long run of his career, but I mean, he'll always have a job because of his hitting.
Right. Judge also, like, he's already had some injury problems, like, in the past couple of years. But, like, you know.
But Judge is still an elite fielder.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, 10 years down the line, he's going to be, like, a 36, 37-year-old guy. He's going to be 6'8 still.
Yeah.
He's still going to be hitting nukes. Like, that's not going to go away. He's just not going to be able to move anymore. So,
you know, the saddest day for me is going to be when, similar to A-Rod, when he stopped fielding, when they decide that Judge can't play in the field anymore because of injury reasons. And that's going to be so sad for me because he is fun to watch in the field. He's so good.
Dude, he makes right field look like a playground. Like, it's like a little kid playground.
It's so
like,
small.
It's so small.
Yeah.
Like, if it's hit there, he's catching it. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you try to run on him, good luck. Good luck.
I love when guys, like, run on him and he just, like, he doesn't even like rear back to throw. He just like darts it to like
it's
the
so
infield.
Effortless.
It's like so easy. It's so easy.
Yeah. So effortless. Do you want to talk a little about the 82 game schedule with like
Yeah,
the
I'm at the point.
Eastern?
Yeah, I'm at the point where just like I don't need to be like, just come back next year. Pack it up, come back next year.
Oh, really?
I don't need like an 82 game schedule that goes into like who knows when, and it's not going to be 82 games anymore. That was the proposal laid out, but like they haven't agreed on it, so they're only wasting time at this point. And
No, I think 82 is
they.
a fair number if they start, let's say July 4th. Early July is what they want.
I just don't need the Yankees winning the World Series this year and everyone being like, it's not a real World Series. Like, I don't need that.
Right.
You
Right.
know?
So what do you
Like,
think
there's
about
going to be
that?
an
Do you think there'd be a
asterisk.
legitimate world?
There's going to be an.
Will it?
I mean, yeah, it's a legit World Series. Same thing if, like, you know, in like in 1994 when the strike happened, like, the best team that year was the Yankees. There's no disputing that. Like, they had the best record, them and the Expos. Like, everyone was pumped up for the World Series. But, like, if they ended up coming back that season, people were going to say, oh, it's not a real World Series just because they missed like 30 games. Like, in the
This is
NBA, for
different, I
example,
think.
like, what year was that? 2011, 2012, where they strike shortened the
Yeah.
year up? Where the strike shortened the year? You're not going to say that that championship wasn't real because the year was a little bit shortened. Like, just the way it is.
Right. We're gonna have guys, scumbags like Jared Carrabba just barking about how this is not a legitimate World Series and how, you know, it was a half a season. It's nothing like the 2018 Red Sox. So I don't know.
I mean,
I'm on the side where I want to see baseball being played no matter how it's played. If we have to play the Mets 12 times a year, okay, sure. But yeah.
on, John, you're muted.
Really? On what,
Yeah,
Zoom?
on Zoom.
Oh.
All right, better. Sorry about that. Anyway, yeah, but like I'm just at the point where like if there's gonna be so much drama. Like, here's what's gonna happen, by the way. Like, this is just the way baseball, it's just like our luck. Like, baseball start, they're gonna start July 4th. And like a month later, someone's gonna test positive and they're just gonna shut it down. I know they said they're not gonna shut it down if someone tests positive, they'll still keep going because they have the 50-man rosters, but like they're gonna end up shutting it down. It's just I don't see any way where like a season starts and they don't meet like 15 more thousand more issues along the way. Like,
Right, and also extending the active rosters, that's going to be a little scary with everyone in the clubhouse, with the coronavirus. I get why they're doing it, but like for injury risks and whatever, just having more guys there. But it's also just having more guys in a smaller area may not end well.
yeah, and also these
Yes.
rules they made up, like no spitting, no seeds, like players aren't gonna follow.
Yeah.
Like the players don't realize it.
No.
You can't control that. So there's gonna be issues. I just don't think it's realistic. I am totally okay with Rob Manfred just being like, you know what? We take the L here. We messed up a little. We should have had a better plan in place like a month and a half ago, 2 months ago. Like we're just done. That's it.
That's tough because baseball should be between basketball, football, and hockey. Baseball should be the easiest sport to have during this whole thing. And if they can't get it done, I'm going to be disappointed.
But I mean, they have to have hundreds of people in the stadium, like, to make it happen. You know, you have the 50 players from both teams. Let's say, I don't know if they're all going to be in the stadium, but let's say they are. That's 100 people. There's 15 coaches for both sides, 10, 15 coaches both sides. That's another 20, 30 people. And then you have
Right.
everyone, all the staff in the clubhouse. Like,
Right.
it's a couple hundred, few hundred people already. I don't.
But you could easily spread out. If you don't have fans, I know they're talking about having maybe the bullpen, like the relief pitchers sitting in the
Yeah.
stands, just trying to keep everyone as far away as possible. I think it's doable. I don't know.
Also, you have to have, you
Yeah.
also have to have governors from all these states like agree to this. Like, there's no guaranteeing everyone's going to agree to it. You know, also
Yeah.
the way divisions work, like the plan right now is saying like you would only be playing teams in your division and in your cross division. So like NL East, NL Central, AL Central. But
Yeah.
there's like, for example, in the AL or NL East, some states don't have a crazy coronavirus issue here. But like if you go to play the Yankees or the Mets, like that's an issue. You're in the hotbed. You're in like the hub of coronavirus.
Well, yeah, and that's why they want to keep it regional, and they wouldn't really open up They wouldn't have like the Astros going to New York until like October, and I guess they're hoping that everything will be set, a little more settled down. The playoffs is would be the first time that you would travel out of your like East, like your divisions, your NL East and American East,
Let's say
American
like there
East.
is a second wave though, like everyone's saying there's gonna be. Let's say there is a second wave and the playoffs just don't. Let's say they can't have the playoffs. Like, let's say they can't travel, or let's say, you know, they're gonna have to play like at a
Right.
neutral location in the middle of nowhere. Players have to agree to all this also. I just think there's way too many
Right.
obstacles. Players aren't gonna take 50% pay cuts. So Blake Snell and Bryce Harper have been saying, like, I
Yeah.
don't see a path to where a season happens. Like, in the back of my mind, maybe I still have like a glimmer of hope, but at the forefront, I just think like it's not happening. I'm ready for it not to happen. I'm psychologically prepared to go into next season for Gerrit Cole to start opening day and just no hit the Orioles. Like, I'm ready for it.
Yeah. Do you want to talk a little bit about what these what the New York Mets and the New York Yankees will look like if they lose this season? I know we start with the Yankees. We're gonna have to decide what we do with, DJ LeMahieu, James Paxton, Masahiro Tanaka, guys like
Dude,
that.
if DJ isn't signed to a 10-year deal before the season's
Yeah.
over, I don't know what to do with Brian Cashman. I'm not a huge Cashman fan in the first place, but you know that already.
The guy, yeah, DJ LeMay was built to play until he's 50 years old. That's how he
I mean,
hits.
he's
He'll be able to play
it's
until
not a
he's
whole
like
lot of bat
granted
speed.
200.
It's just bat to ball, hit it where like if it's in the zone, like he's hitting it. He can play any
Yeah.
position in the infield. He's 31.
Yeah,
He's
he'll.
31. Like, sign a guy to a 4-year deal. Like, he's gonna age well. He's probably not gonna ask for a lot of money. I feel like he doesn't talk. So,
Yeah, he can't.
like
I've never heard him
he'll
talk
sit down
before.
at the negotiating table and be like, "Yeah, whatever you want. Yeah, whatever." Like that'll
Yeah,
be the whole.
I just love the game of
Like, I just
baseball.
want to go to the field and hit. Like, that's all I want.
Yeah.
Like,
I heard you hear like guys like Britton,
yeah, Britton and
Canley,
Canley were on that Twitch stream, and they're like. And they're like, the field opens tomorrow. DJ went to sleep because he wants to just wake up and go hit tomorrow. Like, it's only the guy just
DJ.
wants to hit. That's it.
He loves the game. He doesn't care about money. It doesn't exist to him. He just wants to get on that
He just
field.
wants to get on the
You gotta
field,
love
hit 320, 200 hits, 20 dingers, gold glove defense.
it.
That's all he wants to do.
Good gold glove defense from four different positions if he needs to.
I guarantee you, if you
Like
put DJ behind the plate, he'd become a superstar catcher. Like, he could go anywhere on that field and just be the best player at that position.
I think pitcher would be question mark. I don't think he has a cannon of an arm, but like
He'll throw a knuckleball. He'll figure it out. He'll figure it
yeah. His off-speed pitch is probably out of this world.
I mean, there's no way that guy won't go on a field and be the best player there. Like, I think
Yeah.
there it's not that steep of a drop off. To go Trout, Yelich, Bellinger, DJ LeMahieu. Like,
For best
Mookie Betts isn't
hitters.
even on that list, but like DJ might be fourth.
I agree. You could make the argument. I'm not gonna say yeah. You could make the argument.
Anyway, let's move on to pitching, because Paxton's also up and he's a
Yeah.
Scott Boras client. So
Oh.
honestly, I don't think we have to even
Yeah.
say anything. I think we just wait for John Heyman to like tell us what's gonna happen there. Because
Yeah. My boss just texted me that James Paxton will not be re-signing, and then we'll see those Scott Boras burner accounts.
Right.
Flying.
Everyone, by the way, you should go follow. Scott Boras is a great burner.
Yeah.
I would fire you, go on Twitter, search it up, Scott Boras burner. I mean,
Hilarious. Hilarious account.
John Heyman burner. That's what I meant. Sorry. Go look up John Heyman's burner. Phenomenal account. I would give it a 10 out of 10. I think everyone here should go follow, everyone listening.
Yeah. If you hate John Heyman, that's the account for you, like we
I mean, if you forget hate John Heyman, if you just want to respect the
do.
game of baseball, if you want to respect the game of baseball, you will go follow that account because John Heyman is the worst. And I don't know if you're not understanding what we're talking about right now. John Heyman, the way John Heyman works, he doesn't actually report news. If you were to go on his Twitter feed, here's what would happen. You would just see speculation in every post. Every post is speculation. The only fact he posts is of Scott Boras clients or people who are leaving other agencies to go sign with Scott Boras. That's it. That's the only news he posts. So it has come to my and John's attention that he is clearly Scott Boras is like, I don't know the
puppet.
Word.
I like to call it a puppet.
I guess. Yeah, puppet. Puppet's a good word. He's Scott Boras' puppet. Like, Scott Boras texts him, hey, Paxton's going to be signing a 5-year extension. Tweet it out there. And then Heyman tweets it out. And that's it. That's how you know.
No, you know what the worst thing about him is, which we haven't heard in a while, dating back to free agency, is if one of his clients isn't getting the popular, if enough teams aren't really into this free agent, he's going to tell John, you know, I think we need a mystery team in the mix.
Forget one, not one like, mystery team. There's usually a few mystery teams.
Multiple mystery teams. It's going to be the Yankees, the Astros, the Dodgers, and two or three mystery teams.
Right. Every good team in the league, and four mystery teams automatically.
The only time he's ever been right about that, by the way, is Manny Machado and the Padres, but it wasn't really a mystery team.
No, he didn't know the Padres were in on it. He didn't know.
He had no idea.
Like, he had no idea. He just got lucky with that one. But the thing that concerns me, back to Paxton, the thing that concerns me is that I don't know if Boras is going to treat him like an ace. And I don't want the Yankees to pay Paxton like ace-type money. I don't want them paying him over $100 million.
He'll be our number four pitcher if we bring back, if Sevy comes back healthy and we bring back Tanaka. He would be our number four pitcher.
I mean, yeah, arguably he's the three or four. He's not a top two pitcher in our rotation. If Severino, you know, assuming there's no year this year, assuming there's no baseball, and Severino comes back healthy next year. Paxton, and I mean, the guy's a walking injury. I don't even know. Let's see how many times he's made 30 starts in his career. He's made 30 starts. He has never made 30 starts in his career. Last year with the Yankees, his first year with the Yankees was career high of 29. He only threw 150 innings and 29 starts. Like, I know that a little bit that is skewed because Boone likes taking pitchers out after the fourth inning, but
yeah.
But I mean, I don't want to pay that guy more than $12 to $15 million a year. And that might even be pushing it.
Yeah, I would say even less. I would pay him less than that. I don't think we need him on our team. His injuries scare me. He has this back problem now that he's dealing with, and
he's on the wrong side of 30.
Yes, that's for sure. I don't think we need him. I think like we have someone like Gumby who could come in as our fourth pitcher.
Big Jordan Montgomery fan, by the way. I'm a huge Jordan Montgomery. I think he's the next coming of Pettit, but yeah, continue. Go.
Really? Okay. We can talk about that another time, but we also have guys like Davey Garcia, who I don't know if he'll ever be like starting quality. I personally don't think he will, but I think the Yankees are high on him, and that's why we didn't trade him. We also have people like Clark Schmidt, who I like a lot, and they like Mike King. So I think we have guys that could be our 4 and 5. So I don't think we need to pay Paxton, and I will be happy if we let him go. Like, thank you for what you've done. You pitched pretty well.
We got you for absolutely nothing. We traded
Garbage.
Ben, I think. I don't even know if that's who it was.
Sheffield. I think we traded Sheffield.
It was Justin Sheffield, and who went to the majors and got bombed last year in Seattle. So
the Yankees killed him, didn't they?
Yeah, the Yankees murdered him. The Yankees killed Justin Sheffield.
You know what? I just wanted to bring up something that I read an article about best single game offensive performances for every MLB team. And you are not going to believe what the Tampa Bay Rays' best hitting game ever was. This is going to trigger you so much. It was Travis d'Arnaud hitting 3 home runs against us in a meaningless 2019 game. That was their best performance ever.
Ever?
I want to lose my mind.
They put that down as ever.
Yeah, it was like for the Tampa Bay Rays in their franchise.
Wow.
I was triggered. I was like, that's a joke.
I'm speechless.
This franchise is a joke. They are
speechless. I'm like actually speechless. I can't believe. Did we win that game?
No, it was because d'Arnaud hit a 3-run bomb at the top of the 9th off of Chapman.
Right. I think that was a Sunday game. I think I remember watching that.
Yeah, it was such a meaningless game that we should have won. And
we killed the Rays last year.
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
We just killed the Rays last year.
And he was batting. Yeah, I think he was a leadoff hitter. Like, he was a catcher batting the leadoff hole, which is unheard of. And I just hate the Rays so much. They're a joke. They're an embarrassment to our division.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, here's what the Rays do. The Rays. I heard Adam Ottavino be interviewed about this. He's like, yeah, the reason why the Rays are good is because they develop these like young arms who throw 100 miles an hour, make sure they throw 60 innings before the deadline, and they're amazing, and then they trade them. and they're gassed by the time they get to other teams, but they just acquire new young arms who haven't thrown yet.
That's interesting.
And he's
that's
like, and he's like, go. And Ottavino said, like, yeah, look at the past few years. Like, that's what they've done. They've just workhorse guys, traded them for more young arms, and that's all they do. It's just a never ending, you know,
messed
circle.
Up.
It's pretty messed
that's
up.
Pretty interesting,
it's,
though.
It's pretty messed up with the Rays.
Yeah, I hate them.
Scumbag. Over
anyway, let's talk about the Mets for a second. Who are some of their free agents that they could be looking? I think is Cespedes a free agent after the year?
I don't know. They restructured his deal, but I know Stroman's a free agent. Like they traded for him with you know the year plus left.
Yeah,
I believe Syndergaard's a free agent.
I think he is too, and he's dealing with Tommy John now.
Who?
Syndergaard. Or I think he had some type of
injury. No, Syndergaard's not after this year. I think it might be after next year.
Oh, okay.
But Stroman. I think Stroman is their one big guy. I think Stroman's the one big free agent. And if I'm the Mets, like, how do you not re-sign him? You traded away like two of your top pitching prospects for a number four starter. Like, how do you not re-sign that guy? They have to give him whatever he wants. They have zero leverage. Like zero.
That's true. I think if I'm the Mets, I agree. You need to bring them back. Pitching, Mets could have a top rotation in baseball in 2021. You need Stroman there because their hitters are inconsistent. Pete Alonso is, I don't want to go on my Pete Alonso rant. Mets fans aren't going to like this, but what is he, a Joey Gallo maybe?
No, Joey Gallo could field and he has a good plate discipline. Pete Alonso is the guy who sits at the plate, hits 55 bombs, hits 220, and has a negative 30 ultimate zone rating.
That's all Pete Alonso does. Chris Carter. A rich man's Chris Carter.
Yeah. That's a safe call. That's a safe call.
Yeah, but no, but I think so I think Mets, I mean, Cespedes has been irrelevant for the past 3 years, 2 years. What's Cano's deal looking like? Oh, they had him for a while. They have him until 2023, I think.
Yeah, I think Cano's there for a while. But I want all Mets fans to understand this. Oh, maybe Cespedes' contract is up.
I think it is, yeah.
I think
it was 2017 through 2020.
Got it. Do you know the Mets got it, Eduardo Nunez?
Oh, former Yankee.
Red Sox.
They have him for just this year, yeah.
But
Chase and Shreve.
Oh, you know who the Mets have to consider re-signing? Jed Lowrie, because he hasn't played a game for them yet.
Yeah.
He's a free agent after this year. He's their Jacoby Ellsbury.
Yeah. No, but they didn't sign him to a 7-year deal. Only the Yankees did.
Yeah.
That was messed up.
Yeah, I mean, Jacoby Ellsbury hates the game of baseball. He hates baseball. I think Jed Lowrie
is the opposite of I think Jacoby Ellsbury is the opposite of DJ LeMahieu.
Yeah, he's the alter. Like if DJ LeMahieu had like an arch nemesis, it would be Jacoby Ellsbury. That's who it would be.
Yeah.
I'd love to see them fight to the death or something. Like put them in an octagon, see what happens.
I think DJ would just like stare into Jacoby Ellsbury's like soul and just like he wouldn't fight. He's not a fighter.
DJ's a machine.
He's a robot.
He's a machine.
Mets are looking at Diaz as a free agent also, I think. Looks like he's done after this
No,
year.
Edwin's not. Edwin's only got a few years of service time. Oh, yeah, okay. I see it's Cespedes, Stroman, Betances, Lowrie, Porcello, Wilson Ramos. That's also we have to talk about
but
that.
But Betances has the player option.
Yeah, Betances has the player option.
2021 and 2022. Imagine if Betances walks, I would feel awful. I mean, they didn't trade anything for him, but that's tough. He was like their big signing.
It's like the Mookie Betts deal. I mean, like
fucking L for the Dodgers. I mean, he walks after this year. That's it. He could never play a game for them, and they got rid of Verdugo. Who else did they give up? They got Jeter. They gave away Jeter Downs.
Yeah. Oh, he went. But he went, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they got fleeced.
That would be so tough.
And then who? I mean, I don't think Boston a bunch of penny pincher. Nonsense guys who can't even sign Steve Cishek because he's worth $6 million, which is too much for them. But
yeah,
I mean, Boston can't afford anyone. But in theory, he could go back and sign. He could go back and sign there, sign with a different team.
Yeah, if the Red Sox could somehow bring back Mookie Betts, I think they won the decade.
No, they. I mean,
that would just be.
I don't think there's any team I hate more than the Boston Red Sox, and the Red Sox fan base. I mean, just scum of the earth, trash bag people of Boston. But
yeah.
They would win the decade if they got Mookie back. Now they'd win the first 25 years of the 21st century. Like, good for them. Hats off to them. Like, good job. But you know, there are a bunch of petty pinchers up there, so I don't think that'll happen.
Mm-hmm. The Yankees didn't really have anyone on their roster with like anyone with that caliber with an expiring contract that they could deal like the Red Sox did with Mookie.
So. Well, the Yankees aren't a bunch of babies. They don't just trade guys because their contracts are up. Like, when Judge's contract, like, they're locking that guy in. Like, Gary, they're locking him in. Mm-hmm. Glaber, they're locking him in. Like, they know winners when they see winners.
Yeah, exactly. The Red Sox don't see one if you have
no. The Red Sox are like, oh, let's win a World Series and trade everyone. Let's just tear it. They're as bad as the Marlins. They're just better at building it back up because they went first to worst, back to first, and like back to worst earlier in the decade.
Yeah,
just a scum organization. Anyway, Wilson Ramos, he's a free agent. The Mets haven't had like a really good catcher since Mike Piazza. And it's like,
yeah. They had some guys that I think that I think had like some potential that they just like, I think Darnell, we talked about before, I think he'll always be like a solid starting catcher. The Mets had Russell Martin, didn't they? Or am I just like,
are you? No, I'm good. You don't hear me?
Okay, all right. Now I hear you. Yeah. I don't know what you said, but I agree.
I mean, like, what I'm saying is that, like, Wilson Ramos is 33. They're probably going to re-sign him for a couple of years because they don't really have anyone else. Like, they have Tomas Nido, but, like, you know, that's a scrub. But the Yankees have also, like, had this struggle with, like, positions. Like, first base, outside of Teixeira, like, in the past 20, since Don Mattingly, they had, like, Tino for a few years. Then a huge gap, like Giambi, or, you know, they kept plugging it in. Like, they haven't had a stop gap guy there. And, like, now they're in the same problem now with Luke Voit. Like, they had
– right.
Since Teixeira retired, they had, like, Lyle Overbay. They had Luke Voit. They had all these scrubs.
Matt Hall.
They had, like, all these scrubs playing at first.
Yeah. Yeah.
He can have a problem there also. Voight's a solid player, but he hasn't shown that he could perform over the course of a whole season. Like, last year, he carried the team for 2 months, and he was really bad. Like, he wasn't good the rest of the year. So
yeah, he didn't even make their postseason roster, did he?
Well, he was hurt.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So DJ was starting because he was hurt.
You're right. Voight hasn't proved anything, I guess. And it's the same with the Mets. Their catcher position is a similar situation. They haven't had a guy to fill there.
Like, they haven't had a consistent two-way player there in years.
Yeah. Since
Piazza wasn't even a two-way player. He wasn't a great catcher. But still, like, that's a star guy at that position. You know? The Mets haven't had a solid – even forget a star player. They haven't had a two-way player there in a long time.
And also, just, like – looking back at their roster right now, they've swing and missed with two massive trades they made the past 3 years. The Cano and Diaz trade.
I never got the Cano Diaz trade. I mean, I can't believe they traded Kelenic and Justin Dunn also.
He's going to be a stud. Yeah, was Dunn in that? Might be right. I'm not sure. Kelenic's going to be a stud. He's so good.
Yeah, he was really good in the minors for the Mariners last year. They think he's going to be better than he was when he left the Mets. Like, they have higher hopes than the Mets did. And, like, I could have told you a 36-year-old PED'd up Robbie Cano, like, wasn't going to do anything for you in City Field. Like,
maybe he'll sell some tickets the first year, but that's just
I don't know what else you're trying to accomplish. I mean, the guy's 37. He's not going to play a good second base anymore. I don't know what that was about. Edwin Diaz, And I think he'll bounce back. I think he just had a bad year. The Mets just destroy pitching. Like, look at Jerry's Familia. Look at J.J. Putz back in the day. Look at, you know, all these relievers the Mets get. They never pan out. I could have told you right away that Diaz wasn't going to be good.
I'm happy you just clarified that statement because you originally said that they kill pitching. But, like, you have to look at DeGrom, Syndergaard.
Oh, well, look at Matt Harvey. The Mets kill pitchers. If DeGrom stays there for another few years, he's done. The Mets will kill him. The Mets have a tendency to just kill. Yankees do too, by the way. Yankees are horrific at developing pitching.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think there's anyone worse than the Yankees at it.
Brian Cashman's the worst GM of all time. I love – diehard Yankee fan. We'll never leave that team. Brian Cashman, the worst at developing talent through the draft. At eyeing talent through the draft and developing it. Go look at – this is a rant for a different time. Go look at Brian Cashman's draft history when you have free time. The worst amateur drafter in big league history. Phenomenal international. Yeah, yeah. Phenomenal international scouting. Like, those signings he's made over the years, phenomenal. The guy hasn't drafted outside of Aaron Judge, which was a hit-miss guy. Outside of that, he's been the GM for over 20 years. He hasn't drafted a single stud.
Yeah. I was looking at a redraft of, I think it was the Yelich one, and I was like, who did the Yankees take this year? I think it was like Strasburg's year. So who did the Yankees take? I was looking. It was Slade Heathcott, the stud, Slade Heathcott.
I remember Caprillion. I remember, like, Jorge Mateo, who's now on Oakland, and he's, like, a nothing. They don't even, like, have room for him because he's so bad. Like, the Yankees get all these hyped-up prospects. Manny Benuelos. This is even international. Like, Cashman's hit-miss, but he does hit a lot. He does identify good talent. But if you look back at the history of the past, like, 20 years, of all the guys he's hyped up, Phil Hughes, Ian Kennedy, like, those are supposed to be studs in our rotation for at least 10, 15 years. Nothing. Cashman's just bad. No, Cashman's bad at developing talent. The Mets position player-wise, I think they've been very good. Like, you got Nimmo, you got Amed Rosario was really good at the end of last year.
Yeah. Conforto.
Conforto. To think people used to compare Conforto and Judge, that's a joke. But
I also just hate Conforto. Like, I go on a little Conforto rant just because of one small thing he does. When he gets walked, the kid sprints to first base. Or am I thinking of Brandon Nimmo?
Thank God I don't watch Met games that often. But
he sprints to first base like he's a child playing in Little League. It's so tough.
Do you know the feeling, by the way, when you're like on a Yankee game and you go to commercial break and then you switch the channel to go to a Met game and you feel like the quality of, like, your TV, like, goes down. Like, the announcers are better. I love the Met announcers, like Keith Hernandez, Gary Cohn, Ron Darling, like, great, great crew. I just feel like the picture quality just got sliced in half, though, when I switched the channel.
No, but the thing is, I feel the same way about switching from Nets games to Knicks games, so I think it's just that we're used to the Yankee games.
Maybe just has good camera crews. Who knows? Maybe that's what it is.
I mean, you're a Knicks fan. How do you feel about watching
Knicks games? Well, I usually turn off Knicks games after the third quarter because it's usually a lost cause by then. I don't have the patience to watch Julius Randle chuck up threes and, you know, just drive into six people when there's only five on the court. Like, he'll pull people off and just drive. Like, he wants to be, like, quadruple teamed the whole game. Like, that's Julius Randle's dream. But different rant for a different time.
Yeah. And if you want to hear us talk, expand our talks, you know, DM us, DM our Twitter account. And
by the way, like, any random questions, we're going to set up a Twitter account shortly. Feel free to hit us up. We're going to – next podcast, we're going to tell you all the info. But it should be something around, you know, Big Apple Baseball Podcast. It'll be something like that, some variation of that on Twitter. So
we'll have it by our next
– show. Episode. And, like, feel free to just – tweet at us. We're going to have a segment at the end of each podcast where we're going to answer questions, anything you want, like science questions, basketball questions, anything. And we're going to answer.
Yeah.
It's unfiltered.
Mm-hmm.
Ask me about Julius Randle, please.
Don't get them started on Julius Randle, guys. I'll just warn you before. But if you want to trigger me, say that KD is not going to come back the same player he was before the injury, and then I'll start mouthing off a little bit because KD is going to come back as the best scorer in the league. Mark my words.
But yeah, feel free to DM us questions when we set that up. Anyway,
back to baseball. I was just looking at the MLB proposal again, and it includes a 50-50 revenue split for players and owners, and I'm not sure what the split was, before this proposal. But did you know that apparently, so the NFL players got 48%, NHL got 50%, and the NBA players got 49% to 51%. Apparently, it didn't say what the baseball players got, but apparently, it was nowhere near that. Do you understand why? Like, I don't know why they weren't making this revenue that other athletes and other sports were making.
I don't know if this is anything to do with anything, but the first thing that just jumped to the front of my brain is that I think stars in other sports are more significant than they are in baseball. Does that make sense?
Hockey, though. What about hockey?
Right, I guess that argument could be used against hockey. But, here it says owners are going to lose. By the way, like, I don't care if the owners lose money because they're not actually losing money. These owners are rich billionaires loaded out of their minds. I don't want to hear about them losing money and them complaining. I pay an obscene amount of money to go sit and watch Yankee games. I go into the stadium and I pay an obscene amount of money to buy a hot dog. I pay an obscene amount of money to buy a beer. I don't want to hear it.
Right.
Like, I don't want to hear from owners.
Right.
I'm sorry. Like, the margins they make, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And the TV deals, I don't want to hear from owners about how they're losing money. That's what's pissed me off most about this. Like, players, I get it. They signed a contract. They expect it to be upheld. I don't like the argument. People are saying, oh, there's 30 million unemployed people in this country now. I don't care about, like, I'm sorry. Like, these players, they signed a deal. That's where they are in life. They're extremely superbly talented. And they should get paid what they're expecting to get paid. And they live a certain lifestyle where they probably need that kind of money at this point.
Yeah, and I think the players, on the other hand, do have the right to be a little annoyed. If this season doesn't get played, they're losing years off the prime of their career.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Mike Trout.
Of course.
Like, Mike Trout could have had the greatest season ever this year. We have no idea. And he's losing.
Mike Trout could fall 150 hits short of 3,000, maybe 4,000. He could fall 25 homers short of 600. Like, who? Like 25 homers short of 700. Like, who knows? Not just him. Any of these guys. Yeah. Statistically, it affects everyone's career. I know the same thing happened with the war. And look at how it affected Ted Williams and, you know, Joe DiMaggio. Like, look how it affected those guys.
Yeah, it's tough. That's why I do want to see games being played, even if it's just 82. I do want to see games being played, and I get where you're coming from, but still.
I don't know if I don't want to see games played. I think in the back, like, you know, once again, like, I think there's some part of me that does want to see games played, but I would accept if they just said, pack it up, we'll wait till next year. Like, I get it, and I wouldn't be disappointed. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, I'd be happy if there were games this year, you know? Obviously, I'd be happy, but, like, I'm not going to be upset when they say no games. I'm like, oh, I'm waiting for it, you know?
Yeah, I hear that for sure. Yeah. So
hold on, there was something else. There's something else you brought up besides the DH before that I wanted to speak quickly about. The 14 team postseason. I hope the MLB never does that. I hate Rob Manfred. Hate him. He's ruining baseball.
I don't think if you like baseball, there's two people on this earth you have to hate. It's John Heyman and it's Rob Manfred.
They're the two worst. That's the bottom line. The two worst people that are associated with Major League Baseball. And I would be okay if you like those two, it would anger me if you listen to this podcast. Because, like, I don't want people who sympathize with those two morons listening to this podcast. Mm-hmm. I cannot deal with John Heyman. He's a lying know-it-all. And Rob Manfred just doesn't care about baseball. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Putting a pitch clock onto the screen to shave 5 minutes off the Major League Baseball game, will not help you gain fans. It won't. I'm sorry.
No, it won't.
Let me talk quickly, though, about the 14-team postseason where he's trying to get more people involved in the postseason. It's so dumb. Baseball plays into the winter. You don't want the World Series happening at Christmas.
Right. And I think one of the worst parts about it all is what the format's going to be is that the team with the best record in each
You have to sit out for a week. Players don't want to sit out.
Right, but it gets worse. After that, they get to pick their opponent. And I think that is so messed up. That's going to look so weird.
I mean, picking your opponent, I get the appeal of it. The appeal is pretty obvious. Like, you're basically saying you're the worst team and we want to play you. Like, that's the appeal of that. I think the part that's messed up is that Manfred wants guys to sit. Baseball is all repetition. John and I both played baseball. You can't sit for example, we both played high school baseball and we didn't just sit around doing nothing. I hope not from that June until, next December. Like, you're not able to do that. You can't just wake up one day and be like, all right, season starts. Like, that's not how it works. You can't sit out for a week of baseball, not doing any baseball, anything. And then go full steam ahead. Like, it'll kill. Like, first of all, I think there'll be injuries. Second of all, I think it'll just kill the quality of baseball we're watching.
Yeah. I think momentum is a very real thing in baseball. Unlike in, let's say basketball and football, taking a week off could be really, really good for your bodies and mentally, physically. In baseball, you need to keep playing, I think. I think you need to get out there, you need to get real life.
There's hot streaks and cold streaks. That's how.
Yeah, it's a very real thing. Yeah.
Every phenomenal Major League Baseball player goes through a cold spell. Because it just happens. Mm-hmm. Like, baseball's a long season.
Except Mike Trout.
Well, Mike Trout will go through a cool spell and still have a 500 on base because he'll walk 20 times. But, repetition is everything in baseball. So, you can't – and I know Trevor Bauer, came out on his channel, Momentum. He, came out screaming about this. He said you can't expect guys to, accept sitting out for a week. Also – I don't want 500 baseball teams having a shot. It's an 162 game season. You're going to give a mediocre team, a team that was winning once, then losing the next day, a mediocre 500 team, the shot to win a World Series? Are you joking? Like, come on.
Yeah.
There's a reason why the best teams get in. It's an 162 game season. There's a reason why it's that long. It's not just an excuse to be mediocre and sneak into the playoffs.
Yeah, this will help teams like the Diamondbacks, the Indians, the Twins
The Angels consistently win 75 to 82 games every year.
Yeah, I feel like they're always the best team to not make the playoffs in the American League. I mean, this is going to be huge for Mike Trout.
The third or
fourth. Give him a chance to run.
Like, the Toronto Blue Jays could win 78 games this year and make the playoffs now. Mm-hmm. I mean, not this year, but you know what I'm saying. If there was going to be a 14-team playoff. It doesn't make sense. Right. Doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I don't. I agree. Also, the end of the season is always so exciting. You know, those huge interdivision games with, the Rays Red Sox fighting for a wild card spot. Those are always very exciting games, and that's just going to take all the excitement out of it because maybe both those teams
end up having a shot. They'll both have a shot.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
You could see three AL East teams making the playoff. Four.
Yeah, I could see four. I could see every team besides the Orioles making the playoffs if there's a 14-team playoff.
Yeah, right.
100%. Because the Blue Jays would have to beat out the Indians in the Central. They have to beat out the Angels in the West. That's not that crazy.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to hear my hot take about the Blue Jays?
Go for it.
Bo Bichette's going to be the best player. Out of everyone on the roster right now, Bo Bichette's going to be the best player. Better than Vladdy. Better than Kevin Biggio. Better than, I don't know, Ryu.
You should know, by the way, the most overhyped guys, the most hyped up guys are never the best. They're always second or third. For example, Bryce Harper. I personally think he's a top 10 position player. That's just my personal opinion. When he's healthy, I think he's a top 10 position player. But that's it. He's not far and away the best player in baseball. No debate between him and Trout, him and Yelich, him and Bellinger. There's just no – even him and Arenado. Like, there's just no debate there, But –
For overhyped on the Blue Jays, you're talking about Vladdy?
Yeah, I think Yeah, Vladdy, for example. Or if you look at a guy like Steven Strasburg, not the best pitcher in baseball. He came into baseball being the most hyped up pitcher ever. You know? Mm-hmm. I just don't think it's how it works in baseball. I think a lot of those guys are so much more advanced for their age. For example, the way Zion was in college, like, they're just bigger and better than all the guys they're playing against. But once things – people catch up to you. And you saw, like, Vladdy, yeah. like, there was raw talent. He had a bomb last year off Zach Britton. I don't know if you remember. He hit, like, an absolute bomb off Zach Britton against the Yankees last
year.
Daddy
hack, yeah. I do remember that.
And he also had that amazing at-bat against Chapman that he ended up, you know, grounding out.
Oh, I don't like when people talk about that, but yeah, okay. he got out. Chapman got him out.
Yeah,
It was a fine at-bat.
He was, like, a 13-14 pitch at-bat. But, like, I was on edge the whole time watching. Like, he could have hit a nuke there. Like, I was terrified. But
right.
the raw talent there, I think it'll catch up to him. I think he'll still be a stud. But it wouldn't shock me if, like, Biggio or Bichette ended up being either just as good or even better. Like, that wouldn't shock me. Or Nate Pearson, for example, their young pitching prospect is supposed to be a stud. Yeah. Like, if he was, you know, valued higher than any of the three of them, like, that wouldn't shock me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think just Bo Bichette's going to be a guy that's going to be hitting, like, 320 his whole career. I think the kid's electric. I think he's going to be so good.
And he's a five-tool guy.
Right. I like what the Blue Jays have going over there in Toronto. I think they have a nice young core.
They have a nice young core of just ex Hall of Fame sons. Like, that's it. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
And then, like, Jeff Conine's son. I think they just drafted Al Leiter's son.
Yeah.
It's like it's crazy. It's really crazy.
Yeah.
They're just going to be like a 1990. They're going to be a 1995 All-Star team.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be.
Do they have Leiter's son?
I thought. Let's see. Oh, no, the Yankees. That's what it was. The Yankees drafted him last year, but he's not going to sign. He's going to college, I think.
Oh, by the way, speaking of draft, people are not signing. I think you have to give Cashman credit.
No credit Cole. For Cole. Nope, no credit at all. Because Cole
really?
Told,
okay.
Because Cole told them, I'm not going to sign with you. Because every team knew that Cole wasn't going to sign. That's why a lot of teams skipped over him. And he told the Yankees especially, because the Yankees knew he was a Yankee fan. He said to the Yankees, I want you guys to know, like, if you draft me, I know it'll be tempting, but I'm not going to sign. And they threw a ton of money his way. He still didn't sign. I don't give Cashman credit for that. Because Cole should have never fallen to them.
All right, fine.
Understandable, no? Also, Cole said, one thing I thought Cole said that was interesting in his introductory press conference was that he said, like, I knew I always wanted to be a Yankee. I knew I was always going to be a Yankee. But I wanted to come when I'm at the height of my powers. Like, that's what he said. I think it was afterwards, like, I think Michael Kay or someone interviewed him. He said, like, I wanted to come here, but I wanted to be the best when I came here. I didn't want to have to grow here because it's hard to, like, you know, grow in the spotlight. He said, I wanted to go to these places. I wanted to get better. And when I was at the top of my powers, I want to come to New York. And that's what we have now. We have an absolute stud for the next 20 years.
In the world.
The best pitcher in the world. Guaranteed 200 innings, 300 strikeouts, 20 wins, sub 3 ERA. It's going to be great.
I want to throw some numbers at you and just hear your opinion on them. Over under 22.5 wins for Cole in 2021.
Over.
Over. I'm gonna take the over also.
Let's put it like this. He's gonna make 33, 34 starts. He's a horse, so he's gonna get through five. It's not gonna be a Boone's shtick where he, you know, takes guys out after the fourth inning. Like Cole's a horse, you know?
Yeah. He gets better as the game goes along. It's remarkable.
Right. So think about it like this. Let's see how many wins. I'm going to look at the Yankee rotation numbers from this past year. Yankee starters.
If he could allow two runs in six innings, he wins. So that's the bottom line, I think. And that's what he'll do.
I mean, Domingo Germán, for example, won 18 games with an ERA over 4. And he only started 24 games.
We can't sleep on Germán. We can't sleep on him.
I don't want Germán to come back.
You don't want him?
I just think that the guy smacked his wife and his girlfriend or his wife or whatever in a public setting in front of MLB officials. Like, how dumb do you have to be?
How dumb. I guess.
Obviously,
I
it should never. Obviously, it should never happen in private either. But like, how dumb do you have to be to do it in public?
Yeah. Okay. I'm not gonna make the argument in his favor. He's clearly got some issues there. But
I don't know. There has to be some kind of therapy or something he has to go through if the Yankees ever want him back. That's just in my book. But back to the wins, like Paxton 15. I know wins don't really mean anything anymore, but Paxton 15 wins. Jay Happ at 12 wins. Okay.
Yeah.
If Jay Happ had 12 wins and 30 starts, Cole can make 30, 32, 33, 34 starts and win 22 games. Confident.
Yeah.
Confident.
Okay. All right. I'm going to throw some more numbers at you. Gleyber Torres, 295 hitter in 2021, over under 295.
I'm going to go under, but not because I think he's going to hit like two. I think he'll hit like two. So I think he'll hit over 280. I just think he doesn't have good enough plate discipline yet to like be a nice, you know, 300 hitter.
Right.
He doesn't have
that
plate
Andujar discipline. And if I said those same numbers for Andujar, what would you say?
Andujar has no plate discipline, but like he hits everything.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a little different, you know. Like Gleyber strikes out. Like Andujar, like he strikes out, but not at a
crazy
rate. He puts the bat on the ball, no matter what. So I think he'll hit 300 in the full season.
Mm-hmm. What about this one? Edwin Diaz, 40 and a half saves.
No.
No, under?
No. I don't buy the whole Mets hype train every year where the Mets like hype up. Every year, the Mets hype themselves up to be like, yeah, we're going to win like 88 to 90 games. Like, it just never happens.
Yeah.
I always say, I think like the World Series year, that was like the luckiest year ever. Like, everything went right for them that year.
Yeah.
Like, everything broke right. And that's what the Mets need if they want to win. Like, the Yankees have room for error, you know? Like, the good teams, the Astros, they have room for error. Like, not every – like, for example, last year, the Yankees, nothing went in their way, and they won over 100 games.
Right.
If that happened to the Mets, they would have been decimated.
Yeah, they wouldn't have won 70 games.
Like, once again, I think if the Mets have everything break right, if Robbie Cano hits 280, 25 bombs with solid defense at, you know, second, if – Yoenis Cespedes comes back and hits 30 bombs, drives in 100. If, you know, if Stroman, Syndergaard, DeGrom, let's say Matz gets in their rotation, or, you know, Porcello if he comes back again next year. If four out of five of those guys have an ERA under four, which they should because they're allegedly that good.
Yeah.
I think that it'll end well for them. If Conforto has to have a good year, like
right.
Nimmo has to have a good year, and they can't get hurt because the Mets don't have depth. Like after an outfielder gets hurt, you have like Jake Marisnik, like that's your next guy.
Right. I think
JD Davis, who can't field.
I think the biggest thing about the Mets is
like the Yankees.
They would have been a playoff team and like a pretty solid team also if their bullpen didn't fall apart. I think that's the biggest thing for them. If Diaz could go back to his 2018 self. If Lugo can – Lugo is so good
last 100%.
Season. If Lugo could if he's the same pitcher he was last season, if Betances – and Betances now it looks like he could be ready for opening day. And so if he is, and if he's the Yankees down Betances, I think the bullpen is the key for them, and I think they could be really good.
Thanks so much for coming and listening. Hope you guys really enjoyed. That's all the time we have, though, and – I just wanted to let everyone know that we have a Twitter now, Big Apple Baseball, BAB_pod at BAB_pod.
Yeah, definitely give us a follow. And as we mentioned before, if you want us to answer any of your questions, definitely shoot us a DM. Or if you have any concerns about the podcast, anything, any ideas you have for us, we'd love to hear from you guys. So definitely reach out.
100%. Thanks, guys, so much, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks.